J6, number 12A.
All right, and it says point 6. Now, this is quite long. This point 6 goes all the way from Genesis 3:9 to Genesis 4:16. So let's just see again. We've gone through it once, but let's listen now to what is new. Lee interjected, in such a long text, it may be hard to just keep pinpointing that which is new, or to get the big, to be able to reduce all this text to just a few words. Because there's so many subtones in here, to get the big tone is going to be maybe difficult with the many, many, I think there's 7 subtones within this point 6. So we have to listen to the big point. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou hast gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and upon every beast of the field, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And the woman said, and unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles it shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the first of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, that thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, And it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me will slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Well, there's quite a bit there, but there certainly are a lot of new points coming in that haven't been brought in before. So we go over the main points and we'll see which ones are new. So we have then at point six, then, first of all, the Lord God saying to Adam, Where art thou? So, is that new? Has the Lord asked Adam before, Where is he? And then Adam said, I heard thy voice and I was afraid, because I was naked. And the woman who thou gavest to me, she made me eat from the tree. So, what the main tonality here is, the main point is that the Lord is asking Adam, Where are you now? Where in the heavens are you? I put you in the garden, you're supposed to be all right, now where are you? See, what state of, well, I don't want to translate it, but where art thou? Asking him a direct question, which is new, which seems to be the big point of this sixth point. Is now, where are you, Adam, and where are you, Eve? What in the world have you done? And so Adam replies and tells where he is. He said, Well, I heard your voice all right, but I was afraid because I was naked. So we see now that we saw in the last point that they knew that they were naked, but if he just repeats that. But what is new is he says, Well, that woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she made me eat of the tree. See, Adam is saying, Well, where I am isn't my fault. I have to keep from not interpreting at this point. But you can see Adam's saying, Well, where I am is because of that woman that you gave to me. See, I, Adam, don't look at me. You either look at the woman or look at yourself, you see. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she made me eat. So he turns everything to the woman. So then naturally the Lord has to look at the woman and said, Well, where are you? So does the woman say, Well, that man that you created me out of, he's the one that made me do it. She doesn't, does she? Or she doesn't even blame the Lord. She doesn't say, that man whom you made me from. No, she says, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So she fesses up to the point. She doesn't pass the buck. Huh? She said, so the Lord God then turns from the woman. She says, all right, it's the serpent's fault. So the buck keeps being passed along here. And the Lord God now looks at the serpent and says, All right, if you're the one, then I'm going to put, there's a penalty for this. I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman. And then the woman said, and now there's, and then to you, woman, you're going to have a penalty for where you are. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. And then he doesn't let Adam off, does he? Adam tried to pass the buck, but the Lord God said to Adam, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it, till thou return unto the ground. And Adam called his wife Eve. So we start getting a sense of the tonality, all under where they are, and then what happens because of where they are. So still that big point of all that goes on because of where art thou. There's so much text here, we have to reduce it down to something very simple. Then the Lord God said that the man has become now one of us, and so he sends the man out of the Garden of Eden. So he's expelled from the Garden of Eden. The expulsion from the garden. And to till the ground. That's where you get that condemnation of Adam to till the ground, right here. Adam is expelled from the garden, and now he must have to till the ground. Then Adam knew Eve. Now this is new, isn't it? Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain. So Eve brings forth their first child, Cain. So Cain is the first, that's important to notice. And said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare Abel, the second child, who was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of ground, remember? So let's say it this way. Cain, the first child, was a tiller of the ground, who offered unto the Lord the fruit of the ground. It's all important. The first child, Cain, was a tiller of the ground who offered to the Lord the fruit of the ground. But the second child is Abel, who has a different job. He's a keeper of sheep. And he offers to the Lord the firstling of his flock. So the Lord had respect to Abel's offering, but he had not respect unto Cain's. And that made Cain mad. So Cain then kills Abel, the second child. The first child kills the second child. And then the Lord God asks Cain, where is your brother Abel? And Cain says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And then the Lord curses Cain. And the Lord said, but what's interesting here also is, then Cain becomes very, very disturbed, because Cain says, all right, I know what's going to happen to me now. Everybody who finds me is going to try to kill me for killing my brother. And so the surprise here at the seventh point here in the sixth tone is that the Lord says no. And the Lord God said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. He says, no, whoever tries to kill you, I'm going to get after him. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. We would think, well, that's right, he should be killed. That Cain's right, whoever finds him is going to kill him, and that's good. But the Lord says, no. That I'll get after anybody who kills Cain. Quite an important point there when we switch it into metaphysics, the language. So to reduce all that to a few points I don't have here, but I would like it probably couched under the point of, where art thou, huh? Adam, where art thou? That's the main point, because that's what this is all about. And then the effect of where they are. And then we have the point of Adam blaming Eve. I haven't all the points here, but you should mark them down. That point then, that because of where they are, It's because of where they are. First of all, that Adam blames the woman and the Lord, but Eve blames the serpent. And then what comes from that is then that Adam and Eve are sent out from the Garden of Eden, Adam to till the ground and Eve to bring forth children in sorrow, basically, the effect of where they are. And then the first child, Cain, the second child, Abel. Cain kills Abel. All that's important here. And then the sevenfold vengeance to anyone who kills Cain. Basic points. Then for the last point, which is just a short little point here, where it says then in chapter 4:16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. So that is quite simple. All right, so finally then we see that it's very simple here with this last point. It's just generally then that Cain is expelled from the garden, isn't it? It said Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. I think that would be the big main point. Yes, so we want to go on and with this interpretation as we have done it with the first record of creation, and now translate these biblical symbols into metaphysical symbols and then into the capitalized term. So let's start out now with what we had as a biblical symbol for point one. And so where it talked about, but a mist arises and waters the face of the ground. So we have mist. And what would mist stand for if we translated it into a metaphysical concept? It's different than light, isn't it? You already hear it's the exact opposite. Point one we hear is the exact opposite of point one on the first record. Because the first record said, let there be light. Now there says, and a mist went up. But a mist, so it's the opposite. So if light meant intelligence, then what might mist mean? Ignorance, because it's the exact opposite of intelligence. And then what do we know? That for the new ones, I don't expect us to know, but for those of us who know, then what is the big roof category that that allows us to talk about ignorance? Ignorance is a characteristic of what kind of mind? Mortal mind. So we then can see that we take the biblical symbol of mist and it's translated into metaphysical symbols. So this concept of a mist that went up just has to do that from ignorance or mystification arises a false creative sense. From ignorance now becomes the basis of what Mrs. Eddy called mortal mind. Mortal mind is, basis is ignorance about the deep things of God. Darkness about the deep things of God. That's what we call mortal mind. So that's really what this point one in the second record of creation is bringing out. And you can already begin to see it's the exact opposite of the point one, as we said. Then we go on to point two. We have then point two. The Lord God made man from the dust and the breath of life, and every tree that was in the garden was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we had 2 points here. That man made from dust and the breath of life. And there were 2 trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, What would that stand for, metaphysically speaking? Remember, we take the man made from dust and the breath of life? Dualism. See, there's duality here. Man is made from dust, or matter, and from life, spirit. That's duality. Or you have the tree of life, that has a more spiritual value, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So you have duality going on. Dust and matter and life making up man. Man made from two points, matter and the breath of life. And then there's two trees, the tree that is in the spiritual realm, and then the tree that is of the knowledge of good and evil. So, well, it's a tree of life. Mm-hmm. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So you have mingling or duality, however you would like to say it. We have, here's a point two, the mingling of spiritual reality and matter creates evil beliefs. I believe that's how Kapler used it when he was interpreting the record of creation. And you can see how this is the exact opposite of the second point in the days of creation, where in the days of creation, the second point was the point of spirit, where we had the separation of opposites. We saw that all-intelligent mind at the point of the second day separated what is real from what is unreal. Here we have the mingling of opposites, or as Gwen said, duality. That is the main points being brought out at the second point. Then, point three, that the Lord God put man into the Garden of Eden. Remember that the Garden of Eden was newly interjected, and that the Lord God said that man needed a helpmeet. That came in here also. And that Adam named every living creature. So you have the Garden of Eden and Adam's naming. Now, what might the Garden of Eden stand for? And pantheism, the belief of life in matter, the corporeal senses, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Pantheistic concept of life in matter, yes. Because we'll just go on here. All right, the belief of life and matter, Adam's naming, perhaps false identification. So we have here the belief of mind and matter constitutes a sinful mortal creation of the corporeal senses. And the need, Adam's need for a helpmeet, the need for outside reproduction. Remember, at this point of soul, at the seed was within itself. You had that infinite withinness of being. And here, a soul talked about how soul, that identity, constantly reproduces itself. It has everything within its capacity. But here you see the need for something outside itself to reproduce itself. So that would be the opposite of the third day. Then the next point four in the story, it goes on and talks about how the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he took one of his ribs and made a woman. And the serpent begins to talk to the woman. So remember, we saw the big point of deep sleep. Now, what does deep sleep mean metaphysically? What state do we talk today about deep sleep? What do you know about deep sleep in the world? Hypnotism. So deep sleep was just the way they could talk about a hypnotic state of mesmerism or animal magnetism. That's how the word they use. And a deep sleep fell upon Adam. A hypnotic state fell upon Adam. A mesmeristic state fell upon Adam, or what we would call an animal magnetism fell upon him. And in that state, that hypnotic state, It says that woman was made of Adam's rib. This is point four. So it is, if you remember at point four in the first record of creation, you have that whole system, that principle operated as a universal, holistic system. Now we have the breaking up of that system. Adam in a deep sleep, and something is taken out of Adam to make a woman. You see, you got the breaking up of the system. You remove something, you break it up. So it's showing that deep sleep is a hypnotic state, and in that hypnotic state, you have isolated beliefs in the breaking up of the system, division, atomism working from the false sense of mortal beliefs. As Max said there, it was animal magnetism disrupts the relationship of God and man. That's the opposite of the fourth point principle. We'll come back and talk about more the meaning of this. I just want to have you get the points down. So metaphysically speaking, just to repeat, it's the deep sleep is animal magnetism, hypnotism, mesmerism, or that hypnotic surgery of isolated beliefs, breaking up the system, division, or atomism working from the false system of mortal beliefs. It's just that false system of mortal beliefs, of isolated systems, rather than that holistic system.
Is it breaking up the idea, or is it breaking up the mortal?
It's a system. It's a operation of isolated beliefs. Government by isolated beliefs. Government we'll see by personalities. Government by self-interest. Government by personalities. It's all rather than in the fourth day we had government by principle. Here it's a government isolated beliefs, isolated personalities, isolated authorities.
What's that?
Atomism. Those are atomistic beliefs, isolated beliefs. Atomism working from the false system of mortal beliefs. Parts are working from the false system of mortal beliefs. You have parts at work within a false system of beliefs. All right? And we'll just go through and get the tonality, then we'll come back and bring out the implications of it a lot more. Sometimes when one just goes through it to begin with, we have to see it from the whole. Then as a point five,